right. Good morning, man. Welcome to Journey Church. We're glad you guys are here today. Are you excited to be here? All right. I hope so. Good. Because we're talking about the church today, and I think it's important for us to talk about the church, the bride of Christ. And so today, what we're going to be doing is we're going to be looking at what Scripture has to say about that, because in the culture that we're in, the current culture that we're dealing with, it often says, hey, listen, why do you have to go to church? Why do you have to gather together? I can worship on a beach, I can worship in the mountains, I can worship anywhere. And there's truth to that. We can worship in those places. But corporate worship is something that is important. It's part of God's plan. And so we're going to look today, you know, what does that look like, and why is it so important? Why is it so vital to God's mission for the church to be the church and to be the bride of Christ? And so we're going to dig into that today. And let me just say this. In our current culture that we live in, like I said, a lot of young people, our millennial mentality is almost like, you know, I don't really like mom and dad's religion. I don't like organized religion. And I'd agree with them, because I'm not about religion either. I'm about a relationship with God through His Son, Jesus Christ. So I totally agree with them. But here's the thing. The body of Christ is about relationships. The body of Christ is about relationships coming together with that thread of Christ working through us, the Holy Spirit leading us and guiding us to work together for the purposes of God's kingdom. And so what we're going to do today is we're going to dive in and take a look at community as described in the Bible. So if you've got your outline, take it out. Or if you want to turn to Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 47, you can kind of follow along. The believers form a community. All the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper and to prayer. Let's pause there for a second. It says all the believers devoted themselves. They were devoted. All the believers were devoted to a couple of things, and it lists them out. To the apostles' teaching. And to fellowship, the gathering together. You don't fellowship by yourself. If you do, you got some problems. You got a few personalities going on or something. I don't know. But here's the thing. Is fellowship happens when we get together. And to the sharing in meals, we share one with other people, including the Lord's Supper. We did that Wednesday night. We do communion on first Wednesday every month. And so it's something that we share in. We share in that moment. We remember what Christ did for us. It says, and to prayer. And so we had people that gathered this morning and prayed. We prayed in here as a team, our praise team and our worship teams and stuff. We prayed at Pray First this morning, where we prayed for God to literally wake some of you up, that God might bring you here, and God would draw people here. And so we have had people praying this morning, asking God to work and to literally fill this place with His presence. Fill this place with His Spirit, and that God would draw people unto Him, and that they would hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, put their faith in Him, and be saved. That's what we've been praying for. So just so you know. So here's what they did. They prayed as well. It says, a deep sense of awe came over them all, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. And all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. They sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. They worshiped together at the temple each day, met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. So God kept adding to the number of those who were gathered together as the body of Christ, as the church, this early community. God was continually saving people through them. And so God was using them. He was using them to reach out to people. And so let's look at a couple things. The church is the people of God who have been saved through repentance and faith in Jesus Christ. So I want you to understand what the church is. The church is not this building. The church is not this piece of property. The church are the people who have put their faith in Christ, that they believe that Jesus has saved them. They believe that Jesus has forgiven them of their sins. They believe that Jesus has sealed them with the Holy Spirit until the day of redemption. They believe that Jesus speaks to them. They believe that Jesus is leading them, that He is guiding them, that He is healing them, that He is setting them free. And so that's what a Christian believes. That's what a believer, a follower of Christ, believes. And they believe that Jesus was the Son of God who left heaven and came here. And so for those of us in this room that have put our faith in Christ for salvation, we have repented of our sin. We have turned from that sin. We have turned towards God. We want to walk in holy living. The Bible says you are the church. It is not facilities. It's not buildings. It's not steeples. It's you. And so it's me. It's every one of us in this room that we say, I have been saved by Christ. I have been born again. I have been filled with His Spirit. I am led by His Spirit. I believe His Word to be the truth. For every one of us, we are the church. And so that's what the church is. So don't misunderstand that. Don't think it's a building. I can remember as a kid thinking, hey, I wanted to go up to the church. It was a building. And so now when I think of the church, I think of people. I think of believers. I think of the redeemed. I think of the body of Christ. And here's the thing. There's a couple of ways that we can look at that. There's a universal church. For some of you in this room, today may be the day that you choose and you say, you know what? I believe that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and life. I believe that Jesus can save me. And I believe that, you know what? I am broken. I am in need. I believe that Jesus can change my life. And so, man, that's what I want. And so today, there may be one of you here today that you will make that decision. The incredibly cool thing about this is that there may be someone in China today. There may be someone in Afghanistan today. There may be someone in another state here in our nation that will make that same decision, and both of you will enter into and become a part of the family of God. You will literally be adopted into God's family, and you'll become children of God. No longer just a creation of God, but children of God. So look at this, the second one here. It says, you have been adopted into His family, the body of Christ. So we've been adopted. We're His adopted children. He chose us. He said, listen, that's the one I want. So here's the thing. God's desire is that all people would be saved. God cares about the world. He cares about the people that are here. He wants them to all be in His presence. He wants them all to have a relationship with Him. And so that is what the church is. So don't misunderstand when we're talking about this today that we're talking about programs, or we're talking about buildings or facilities. When we're talking about the church, we're talking about the gathering, the coming together of the body of Christ, the corporate gathering, the corporate worship. That's what we're talking about. We're not talking about buildings. We could gather out on the hillside today and the church still met. We could gather at a restaurant today and the church still met. We could gather in a YMCA and the church still met. We could gather in an antique mall and the church still met, because the church is a people, right? And so let's kind of look into this a little bit. It says, all of you together are Christ's body, and each of you is a part of it. 1 Corinthians 12:27. All of you are a part of the church. Those of you who have put your faith in Christ, you're part of the church. Now, if you're on the outside, you're kind of weighing out Christianity, you're not sure about it, you don't believe in Jesus, you don't believe in the Word of God, you don't believe in God, then you're not the church. But the church is the mission, or is the vessel that God wants to use to accomplish His mission. And so God wants to use us. And so we have become part of His family. And so let's look at this. It says, church is more than sermons and music. It's community, it's mission, it's ordinances, and so much more. Church is not about satisfaction, but about sanctification. Church is not about satisfaction, but about sanctification. Let me explain what I mean by that. Satisfaction, a lot of times, you know, we go to church and we say, well, I like this music, and I like this style, and I like this, and I like this preacher, and I don't like this one, or whatever. And we go through like it's a buffet at times, kind of picking and choosing what we like and what we want. And so understand that church is not meant to just satisfy everyone. Jesus could not satisfy everyone. Does everybody understand that? Know that? Jesus could not satisfy the crowd. Jesus could not satisfy everybody. Because here's the thing, our wants are often ridiculous. But here's the thing, Jesus could change everyone's life. And I'll just say this, God can use His church to change everyone's life. He can use the church to make your life better. He can use the church to make your life more fulfilling. He can give you community. He can give you relationships that will last for an eternity. And so the thing is it's not about satisfaction. It is about sanctification. And that's a churchy sounding word, a big sounding word. But let me tell you what that means. That means sanctification is you are becoming more and more like Christ. You're being conformed to His image. You're being changed and transformed by the power of God, by the Word of God. And here's the thing. As iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. So, and when we are together and we've got other people speaking truth into us, and at times, here's the thing, even rebuking us, we're becoming more and more like Christ. And we need that. Every one of us, we need that in our life. We need to become more and more like Christ. So God uses the church and this fellowship of believers, this coming together for the sanctification of ourselves. The changing, the transforming, becoming more and more like Christ. So that's what this is about. And so we all have a need for that. So let's look at what are some of the things that the church does here. It says, equipped by the Holy Spirit with spiritual gifts for ministry, these communities regularly gather to worship the triune God. So this morning, we have gotten together. We have come together as the body of Christ. We do this on the Lord's Day, you know, and what we as a church celebrate on the Lord's Day, which is kind of like the power of the resurrection. Jesus was resurrected on Sunday. We celebrate on the Lord's Day. You know, and so that's one of the things we do. So we kind of gather together. We do this every Sunday. I don't know if y'all realize that. But every Sunday we gather together. We try to be disciplined to be, you know, to be here and to gather together as the body of Christ to encourage one another. But we worship the triune God. Those songs that we just did, everything was designed in such a way to bring honor, to bring glory, and to point to who He is. I even like what it said. It's not us, God. It's about You. God, You deserve everything. So everything that we do in these services is to honor and to glorify God. We want to worship the triune God that we serve, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We believe they are three in one, and we believe that God wants to work and move in us. And so we gather for that reason, for that worship. Here's the other thing, to proclaim His Word. The church, it gathers together, this community, it gathers together to proclaim His Word. Now you might say, we might, you know, I can worship on a beach or I can worship out in the woods or whatever, and you can. And you might say, well, I can take God's Word and I can literally sit there and read God's Word and it minister to me. And I totally agree with it. I get that. But I can't proclaim it. What am I going to proclaim it to the animals, to the fish? You know, unless there's people there that I can proclaim God's Word. And proclaim is as a proclamation. Hey, this is God's Word. This is truth. And we offer it to you. And so proclaiming God's Word is something that the church is designed to do. We are vessels of truth. We are mouthpieces for God, if you will. And so God could have chosen another plan, but He didn't. We are the plan. God says, hey, this is it's going to be through the church that this is going to happen. And so we proclaim His Word. We say this is truth. We stand on it. We believe it. We live according to it. Here's another thing. We engage non-Christians with the gospel, the good news. See, one of the things that we do, I had a guy yesterday, we were talking, and he said, you're Mazingo, right? And I said, yeah, that's right. And he said, you're the pastor at Journey Church, right? And I said, yeah. He said, well, how is Journey Church doing? I said, man, God's been doing some amazing things. I said, we've seen people come to know Christ on a regular basis. I said, all for God's glory. I said, man, it is amazing what God is doing. And he said, y'all are an evangelistic church, aren't you? And I'm like, yeah. And I'm thinking, I don't think there's a different kind. You know what I'm saying? I mean, in my mind. And he said, well, you know, our church tends to teach more. And I'm thinking, you know, it's both. The Great Commission talks about reaching people with the gospel. It talks about discipling them and making them, helping them grow up into faithful followers. And so to me, a healthy church has a fine balance of reaching the lost and making disciples. And so we have to be about both of those. And if we have this mentality, hey, it's us four and no more, then you have a jacked up church that you're a part of. I'm just telling you, you have got to go back to the Great Commission and say, you know what? Are we reaching the lost? Are we discipling them? Are they growing in their faith? Are they becoming more and more like Christ? That's sanctification. So are we doing those things as a church? And here's the thing is we have responsibility as a church to make sure. That's one of the reasons our elders, we meet and we discuss, hey, are we on task? Are we on mission? Are we staying focused? Are we doing the right things? And we often ask, one of the things we do around here all the time is we evaluate, how can we improve what we are doing? How can we reach more people? How can we disciple better? That's one of the questions we are constantly asking is always, how do we improve? How do we do a better job? So the church, these believers gather together and they engage non-Christians. You might say, well, how do they do it? Here's the thing, because we ask you to invite your friends, don't we? We tell you, hey, listen, man, reach out to your friends, invite them to church. Because we want our lost friends to experience God's saving grace. We want our friends to experience God's healing. We want our friends to experience God's freedom. We want them to experience all that God has for them. So I ask you guys, our staff ask you guys, our leadership ask you guys, hey, invite your friends and bring them here. So one of the things that we do every service is we present the gospel. We find a way of sharing the thread of the gospel. It doesn't matter if I'm teaching on sex, doesn't matter if I'm teaching on marriage, doesn't matter if I'm teaching on money. We're going to talk about Jesus, and we're going to say, because here's the thing, He is the way, the truth, and the life. Nothing else really matters apart from Him. And so we've got to be willing to do that. So as a church, we do that. Here's another one, disciple their members. Churches gather to disciple, to teach, to equip, prepare their people for the works of ministry. So every church should be discipling, teaching people how to grow in their faith. Teaching them how to share their faith. Teaching them how to mature and develop. That is their responsibility. As parents in this room, you kind of understand that because your job is to disciple your kids, is to teach them what is right and what is wrong, to teach them God's Word, to teach them how to eat with a fork, to teach them how to have manners. You know, and so we teach them. And so the church, our job as a church is to disciple our members. We don't want you just coming and sitting in a chair. I mean, if we just fill up the seats, big deal. Who cares? What does that have to do in the grand scheme of things? We want to see you growing and maturing and developing. And here's the thing, but becoming a faithful follower of Christ in every area of your life. That's what our desire is as a church and as leaders. And here's another one. Care for the people through prayer and giving. So when these churches gather together, they're caring for their people through prayer. This morning, you know, we gathered for prayer, like I said, in here. We prayed over the service. We prayed for who God would wake up and who God would bring here. We went in at 8 o'clock. We meet in the square. We have a group in there that is pray first. And you got people in there on their knees pleading before God. God, will you just pour out your presence on our services? God, will your spirit literally draw people unto you? And God, will you literally wake people up and bring them here so they can hear the good news of the gospel? So you've got ladies on their knees pleading before a holy God for you. And so there's people that are praying over you, praying for you to be here. Praying for God to heal you. Praying for God to give you freedom. Praying for God to set you free from the addictions that are holding you captive right now. And so we've got people that are praying. And then it says, and giving. Every Sunday we take up what we call tithes and offerings. And those tithes, the tithe is the first 10% of whatever you make. And then the offering is what you want to give above that. And what we do as a church is we use that to minister to people all over the globe. We buy Bibles and we put them in the hands of people that don't have Bibles. We support missionaries who are preaching the truth of God's Word in foreign countries. We support missions and ministries all in, right here in our community. And so we give so that we can bless others and we can make a difference in their lives. We help out with benevolence needs around our community and in our church. And so whenever the church comes together, they pray and they give. And here's the last one here, that to stand for the world and against sin. So what does that mean, to stand for the world? Understand this. God sent His only Son into the world, right? Into the world. God sent His only Son, Jesus Christ, into the world that they might hear the gospel, that they might put their faith in Him, that they might be saved. God's desire is that all people would be saved. And so here's the thing, is if my God loves this world, we've got to love them as well. We may not love how they live. We may not love what they believe, but we are to love people. God loves people. He cares about people. Jesus didn't come to die for buildings. I hope you guys know that. He came to die for people. He came to pay for the sins that we have committed, the things that we have done that have literally broken His heart. But God loved us so much that He sent His only Son that we might live. That we might live. And so we as a church have to stand in the gap for the world. Pray for our land to be healed. Pray for our leaders to lead godly lives. Pray for godly leadership in the politics and the garbage that we have. But that we are to pray for them, not just talk about them, but pray for them. Stand in the gap. So when the church comes together and we come together, we pray for God to bless our leaders, to protect our leaders. And here's the thing, to literally bring conviction in their hearts. That's what we should be doing. And here's the thing, is we have to be willing to stand for what is right and stand against sin. Too often the church was known as the silent majority. The silent majority. We knew what was right, we just wouldn't say anything. It's kind of like watching someone get beat up and watching someone get robbed and just standing around and watching it and not doing anything. You're just as guilty. So we have to be willing to stand for what is right and stand against what is wrong. As a church, we are called to do that. So here's a question that often comes up. Why is attending corporate worship so vital? Why is attending a gathering like this? Why is it so vital? Why is it important? Why does it even matter? Because you know what? I can meet with God anywhere. We all agree with that. But there's something about being here. There's something about gathering together. Something about coming together. And let's look and see what God's Word has to say. It says, let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope that we affirm. For God can be trusted to keep His promise. Let us think of ways to motivate one another to act of love and good works. And let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of His return is drawing near. Hebrews 10:23-25 is very clear. Do not neglect the gathering together. Don't give it up, guys. There's so much going on this day and time. How many of you guys are busy? Raise your hand if you're busy. Raise it really high where everybody can see how busy you are. Raise your hand. All right, so you see how many people are busy? You know, a lot of people are busy, right? Most everybody in the room said, I'm busy. All right, well, who makes you busy? Who? Ourselves. I make me busy. What we do is we blame it on the church. Man, the church always asking me to serve and use my gifts. You know, dadgum the school, you know, they're wanting to do another fundraiser. You know, and all of a sudden we start blaming it on everybody else. Who steps in? Who does that? Who gets involved? The Little League, man. You know, kids got practice. You knew that when you signed up, didn't you? I mean, and then you'll complain because they're not practicing enough and your kid's not any good. Maybe, that you know, the practice ain't going to help him. I don't know. But I'm just saying, what we do is we complain, we point fingers at everybody else, but we are who makes us busy. I busy myself up. I often overcommit. I want to do things that, you know what, I just want to do. It's not that necessarily I need to do them, and we forget to prioritize. We don't set priorities, and we don't say, hey, that's really important. And here's the thing, if you don't take the bigger things, the things that are most important, and put them in your calendar, you'll bump them out with the junk in life. And so here are some of the reasons why it's so important for us to attend the gathering, the corporate worship. We all need encouragement. We all do. We get shot full of holes, man. We get beat up in life. We're going through life sometimes, and man, we need to feel like, you know what? I just need a word of encouragement. You ever have somebody just say, hey, man, it is so good to see you? And you feel like, man, they're excited to see me. I mean, it makes you feel good, right? Or what if they say, you know what, man, you know, I just want you to know how much I appreciate you. And they pat you on the back, or they shake your hand, or they hug your neck. You know, some of you guys just need to come in here for a hug. Maybe nobody loves on y'all through the week, but man, when you go to church, somebody hug your neck. You know, and let me just tell you, some of you hug like ironing boards. I've joked about that before. My dad, you know, I remember whenever I went to college and I would come home, I had to kind of teach him how to hug because he hugged like an ironing board. But some of you need to loosen up, you know what I'm saying? And I know you probably, well, you know, I don't like physical touch. But you know what? Jesus touched people. He healed people. And if we're going to follow him, we got to be willing to at least reach out, take a hand, shake a hand, hug a neck, and let someone know, you know what, you matter to me. And I'll just tell you this, you know, maybe sometimes just to share a smile. I remember someone said one time, you know, said, just if you'll just smile at people and give your smile away, it might be the only smile they see that day. So if it's just a smile, say, man, I'm so glad you're here. You know, one of the things we tell our greeters and our ushers here, hey, welcome to Journey Church, man, we're so glad you're here. We want you to hear that. And some of us just need to be encouraged, right? I mean, we get shot full of holes. We need to be encouraged. And so we all need encouragement. Here's the second thing. We all need prayer. All of us need prayer. Someone tells me, they say, Mike, I've been praying for you. I'm like, man, thank you. I need it all the more. Anybody that wants to pray for me, I'm like, bring it on. I love for people to pray for me. I feel like I have a hedge of protection around me. I feel like, you know what, that God does more through me. You know, I stand down there or wherever I'm at, even this morning, I'm praying, God, I want you to fill me with your words. God, I want you to anoint me. God, I want you to anoint our worship team. God, I want you to fill this place. I want you to come in, literally take over and change every one of us. So those are things I pray for. And I'll just tell you this, every one of us need prayer. We're all under attack. We're all in a battle. And so we all need prayer. And here's the thing, for someone to put their hand on you and say, man, do you mind if I pray for you? There's something powerful in that. To have someone put their hand on you and pray. And let me tell you, if you're sitting in a tree stand, you can pray, but no one puts their hand on you and prays over you. If you're sitting on the beach, you know, somebody comes up and puts their hand on you, you're going to start freaking out. But I'm just saying, if you are in a body of believers, and someone says, hey, listen, why don't you come step in the middle, and let's all just lay hands and pray over you. Man, that's powerful. There's something special there. And so we all need prayer. We all need discipleship. We've already talked a little bit about that. Every one of us, it doesn't matter if you're 50 years old, 80 years old, 10 years old, and you're a believer, you need to be discipled. You need to be taught, equipped, prepared for the works of ministry. Every one of us in this room needs to be growing and learning and becoming a better follower of Christ and know it, just learning more about who Christ is. How's that lived out in my life? Here's another one. We all need accountability. We all need accountability. Every one of us. And here's the thing. Nobody here really wants accountability unless we want something. Like if you want to lose weight, you want to kind of get in shape, then you'll get somebody to hold you accountable to work out with you, right? Because if you got to get up and meet them, you don't want them dogging you out and saying you lazy bum, you know, you slept in again or whatever. So we establish accountability. Hey, listen, if you'll meet me, you know, at the gym, then I'll be there. Then here's the thing. Whenever the alarm goes off, instead of just turning it off and going back to sleep, we feel like, you know what, I've got accountability. They're going to dog me out. You know, I need to go and work out. And so you'll get up and go for that accountability. And here's the thing, we often do that, you know, whenever it comes to eating right. We say, hey, listen, guys, help me out this week. I'm trying to eat right. You know, I'm trying to get healthier. And then, of course, you know, your real friends are going to say, hey, listen, man, don't you want this donut? You know, and they'll eat it in front of you and stuff like that. I'm not sure that's the best accountability, but we know we need accountability. But what about at church? What if you told somebody, say, listen, I'll see you Sunday. Or I'll be looking for you Sunday. Or I'll save you a seat Sunday. What if we established accountability like that? It's almost like we don't want any accountability at church. We just want to kind of show up if we wake up type deal. You know what I'm saying? And we don't want any accountability. You know, one of the things we do, we have people serving all over the body here, all over the church. And so we ask them, hey, listen, make sure that you can be here. And if you can't, let us know. And we often have what we call a no-call, no-show. And I'm telling you, that is a no-no. Everybody hear me on that? That is not being responsible. And you, here's the thing. We're going to hold you accountable to that. Because you know what? There's kids that need you. There's someone that needs you to do your part. You have a responsibility to do that. So we say, hey, listen, no call, no show, not acceptable. That's called accountability. And let me tell you, a lot of people, they want that at the gym, but they don't want that at the church. And this right here matters way more than that does. And so there's lives at stake here for eternity. There's eternal things at stake here. And so look at this last one here. Our community needs to see the power of the church. Would y'all agree with that? I can't hear you. All right, the community, our community needs to see the power of the church. They need to see unity. They need to see diversity. They need to see the power of God changing lives. They need to see people that, you know what, believe in each other, support each other, rather than ridiculing each other and tearing each other apart. And saying negative things, spreading gossip. The community needs to see that the church is the light. You know, it's a light in our community. It has hope there, and there's lives that are being changed, and people are literally different because of the power of God. And so the thing is our community needs to see that the church is living, it is alive, it is worth going to. If they don't see that in you, then why waste their time? I had a lady come up to me Wednesday night, and she told me, I drive 26 miles to be here. She said, I drive past a lot of churches. I said, you know what? I said, I can remember whenever I got saved. I can't tell you how many churches I drove past to get to a church that was alive, that God was saving people's souls, and you know what? People were being discipled, and that people were being called to the ministry. And it was alive. And I drove past, I don't know how many dead churches, I'm going to be honest with you, to get to one that was alive, that was filled with God's Spirit, and the church was alive. And so I want you to know, you know, it's worth it. To get up. I hope our church has that mentality. You know what? I want to be there. I don't want to miss. And so our community needs to see, you know what? There's a church that is alive. There's a church where lives are being changed. And so here's another question that often comes up. Why should we serve at our church? Or why should we serve at church? I think God's Word answers this pretty clearly. It says, now these are the gifts Christ gave to the church, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do His work and to build up the church, to build it, to grow it, the body of Christ. This will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord, growing up, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. Then we will no longer be immature like children who we won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever they sound like the truth. Instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ. That's sanctification. Who is the head of His body? The church. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts to grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. What a great picture of the church. So every one of you have a gift. Every one of you have a spiritual gift. If you are a believer, if you're a follower of Christ, you have a spiritual gift that is vital to others around you growing and maturing and becoming more and more like Christ. So don't think that your spiritual gift is to warm that seat you're sitting in. It's not. If you have that mentality, hey, I'm just going to come and attend and I'm just going to soak it up, you are in a lose-lose situation. You lose because you're not using your gifts. The church loses because you're not using your gift. The community loses because you are not using your gifts. You're sitting on them. You're making excuses. Or either you're just saying, I'm too busy. And I can remember my youth pastor telling me, he said, if Satan can't make you bad, he'll make you busy. If he can't make you bad, he'll make you busy. And so sometimes what it is we're just too busy for God. We're too busy for His church. We're too busy to use our gifts. in that picture right there that we see of Paul writing to the church at Ephesus is, hey, listen, every part is important. Every one of you are vital to what God wants to do through Journey Church. And whatever church you're a part of, God is saying, hey, listen, use those gifts that I've given you. They're not to sit on a shelf. They're not to draw dust. And here's the thing, don't ever believe Satan whenever he says you're not good enough. You're not spiritual enough. He's given you gifts to use for his purposes. And look at the statement here. It says, to not be involved in a local church is to diminish the gifts and role that you are expected to play in Christ's body and the gifts and roles that other members have to play in your life. It also diminishes what Christ died for and loves. When we diminish the church, when we diminish our gifts, we're diminishing what Jesus died for. We're literally belittling. We're playing down what he gave his life for, what he bled his blood out for. Was for our freedom, for our forgiveness. And here's the thing, also for our fruitfulness, that we would literally be out producing fruit for the kingdom. And he does that through the gifts that he has given us. And so whenever we sit here and we say, well, you know, I don't matter, I'm not good enough, I'm not spiritual enough, or I'm too busy, we diminish what Jesus died for. And understand this, the church is the bride of Christ. The church is the bride of Christ. So whenever we get too busy talking about the church and putting down the church and berating the church, keep in mind, that is the bride of Jesus Christ. Now think about some of you husbands in here. If someone were running your wife down, if someone were dogging out your wife and talking about what they didn't like and what you thought needed to change about her, most likely your bristles would kind of come up. If not, you're not much of a man anyway. But you would begin to say, listen, don't talk about my bride like that. Don't dare go there. And if need be, we might shut their mouth for them. You know what I'm saying? I mean, that would be our mentality. Well, think about this. Oftentimes what we do is we berate, we belittle, and we talk about the church. And it is the bride of Christ. And I think what we should do as believers, as followers, is we should love the church. We should love the mission of the church. We should love being able to be a part of it and consider it to be an opportunity, not an obligation. This morning, Pastor Tony was praying for our team, and he said, man, I hope you always look at this as an opportunity and not an obligation. I hope that for you guys, you don't see coming to church as an obligation to mom, an obligation to, hey, I'm a member, I'm supposed to be there, but you see it as an opportunity to be changed and to be transformed into more and more like Christ. You see it as an opportunity to gather as a church and to worship the triune God that we serve. You see it as an opportunity to bring lost people to hear the truth of God's Word. You see it as an opportunity to present the gospel of peace to those who have no peace. Look at what it says here. It says, the human body has many parts, but the many parts make up one whole body. So it is with the body of Christ. Some of us are Jews, some are Gentiles, some are slaves, and some are free. Talk about diversity. How awesome is that? But we have all been baptized into the one body by one Spirit, and we all share the same Spirit. Yes, the body has many parts, not just one part. If the foot says, I am not part of the body because I am not a hand, that does not make it any less part of the body. And if the ear says, I am not a part of the body because I am not an eye, would that make it any less a part of the body? If the whole body were an eye, how would you hear? Or if your whole body were an ear, how would you smell something, anything? But our bodies have many parts, and God has put each part just where he wants it. How strange a body would be if it only had one part. Yes, there are many parts, but only one body. The eye can never say to the hand, I don't need you. The head can't say to the feet, I don't need you. In fact, some parts of the body that seem weakest and least important are actually the most necessary. And the parts we regard as less honorable are those we clothe with the greatest care. So we carefully protect those parts that should not be seen, while the more honorable parts do not require this special care. So God has put the body together such that extra honor and care are given to those parts that have less dignity. This makes for harmony among the members so that all the members care for each other. If one part suffers, all the parts suffer with it. And if one part is honored, all the parts are glad. What a great picture of the body of Christ working together. And so what happens sometimes is we begin to say, well, you know, I don't have the gift of teaching, or I don't have the gift of singing or whatever. And so, you know, only gift I have is mercy, or the only gift I have is hospitality. They're all vital. But it's, are you using those gifts? Are you using those gifts? So here's another question. Why a local church? Like I said, one of the questions that is out there now is why the church? Why the church? So why a local church? The local church is the local expression or extension or expression of Christ's body. And so what we look at is when we see in the Scriptures, and Paul is writing to Ephesus, you know what he's writing to? He's writing to the gathering, to the church that is there in Ephesus. He's writing a letter. And to hear the letter, you had to gather with the church. And so the thing is, Paul, he considered it a great joy to be one who would go out and plant churches. And so he would go to a city or he would go to an area. He would lead people to Christ. And he would say, hey, listen, you are now the church of this area. I want you to take this message and impact your community. I want you to spread the gospel. I want you to live it out. I want you to let others know how they can be saved. And you know what Jesus did? Jesus said, hey, listen, man, give him all he's got. He gave all the power and authority to Paul. Hey, listen, go out and change as many as you can. He became a great missionary. Let me just say this. God has planted Journey Church here for that same reason, to reach this community. We didn't plant Journey Church just to have another church. They're everywhere. We planted Journey Church to reach people who were far from God. We planted Journey Church to reach the lost and to make disciples. And so look at what it says here. God's purpose in all this was to use the church to display His wisdom in its rich variety to all unseen rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was His eternal plan, which He carried out through Christ Jesus our Lord. See, God is saying right there, listen, the message of the gospel is going to go out through the church. Jesus handed it off to the disciples. He said, hey, listen, this is the message of the gospel. I want you to take it into the world. And the disciples began to take it and share this message. Peter would preach and 3,000 would be added to the number. And so he would hand it off and they would literally live it out and they would hand it off to the early church. And the early church would hand it off to other leaders and to other leaders and to other leaders. And you are sitting here because of the work that they did of spreading the gospel. Who will be sitting here in 50 years because of what you've done? Who will be sitting here in a church because of you sharing your faith? What person will come to know Christ because of you using your gifts? It's been handed to you. What will you do with the baton? What will you do with it? Will you drop it? Will you end the race? Will you end what Jesus put into commission? That He said, listen, go and do this work. So what will you do? Look at this. It says, why Journey Church? You might be asking, you know, why Journey Church? Today we have our Connect class, which is our membership class. And so we encourage people to come and go to it. We want you to be a part of that. And so here's some of the reasons I believe that Journey Church is a church worth joining. It says Journey Church worships Jesus Christ, preaches the biblical gospel, and practices communion and baptism. A lot of times people say, well, hey, what should I look for in a church? Those are some of the qualities that you look for. Do they teach the Word of God? Here's the thing, we worship a triune God. And we're intentional about that. We try to do everything we can to do it with excellence and to make sure that we are pointing towards God and that He gets all the credit. And so Journey Church is that type of church. Here's another one. Journey Church encourages service. We beg, plead, we do everything we can to get you to use your gifts. We do everything we can to give you opportunities to use your gifts to help build up the church, to help grow the body of Christ, to help spread the gospel. We do that. We encourage it. And I said encourage, but we actually plead with you. Like Paul says, I plead with you. I beseech you. I beg of you to give your life to Christ. Well, I plead and I beg you to use your gifts because it will grow God's church. It will grow God's kingdom. So use them for His purposes. Number three, it says, Journey encourages missions. We want you on mission. We believe in missions. We invest in missions. Every Sunday, a portion of what you give goes to supporting missions all over the world. It goes to supporting missions right here in our community. You know, and one of the things that we know is that, you know what? God is still calling people to the mission field. And there's some of you that He is tapping you on the shoulder and He's saying, listen, I want you to be on the mission field. And that mission field may be where you work. It may be out here at Hyundai. It may be down here working in the Capitol. Wherever it may be, He's saying, listen, I want you on the mission field. And we want you reaching out to people and bringing them here where they hear the gospel, where they can be discipled, where they can be taught. So we believe in missions. Here's number four. Journey encourages community. We want you to be in a life group. We do everything we can to try to get you involved and engaged in a life group. We even try to bait you up with food. We'll have tables over here with cookies. And man, we'll even have candy. At times we've had hot wings. You know, and we'll do everything we can to try to bait you up to get you to come over. It's not a trap. Yeah, I want y'all to understand it's not a trap. We're not trying to trap you. We're trying to give you life. We're trying to give you community. We're trying to give you people in your life that will know how to pray for you, and they'll know the details of your life. They'll know about your kids. They'll know more about you. And so we put food out. We try to get you there. We beg you. We encourage you. We do everything we can. And then we'll sit around and say, well, I just don't know anybody. We believe in community. We want you to be a part of life groups. Jesus modeled that. He had 12 disciples he spent his time with. He taught them. He equipped them. He prepared them. He had three guys that he met with and outside of that. Peter, James, and John, he spent time with them. He poured his life into them. They had community. And so I just want you to understand, if you're here and you think that this is all there is to church, is sitting in that chair, you missed it. And we don't know any other way to explain that than to say, hey, listen, we want you involved in a life group. We want you to experience community. So here's our purpose statement as a church, our mission statement. Journey Church exists to reach people who are disconnected from God and lead them to become fully devoted followers of Christ. That's why we exist. We're not here just to do church. We're not here just to kind of go through the motions. We are here because we are on mission. And we want to reach as many people as possible with the life-changing message of the gospel. And then we want to see them discipled. And we need all of you using your gifts, because we need lots of people to be disciple makers that are pouring into people. See, it's not my job. It is our job. When we talk about the church, it's not me, it's us. And God is saying, hey, listen, I want you to be a part of this. Not a bystander, not a spectator, not sitting in the stands watching what happens on the field. But God is saying to each one of you, he goes, I want you to be a part of this. This is your church. This is the mission I have given this area. This is the local expression called the body of Christ. And maybe today you realize, you know what? I want to be on board. I'm tired of just watching from the sidelines. I want to get engaged. I want to be involved. So here's a couple of next steps. Says, maybe for you today, I desire to put my faith in Christ for salvation, and I want to become a part of God's family, the church. Last week, we had 4 or 5 people in here that gave their life to Christ. So maybe that's you today. You're here today, and you go, you know what, man? I do want to be saved. I do want to be a part of this. I do want to be a child of God. I want to be a part of His family. I want to be a part of the church. And so maybe for you today, you go, you know what? Today is the day. I'm taking the step. I'm putting my faith in Christ. I want to be saved. I want to live out my faith in such a way that, you know what, it changes the people around me as well. And so maybe for you today, that's the decision, that's the step you need to take. Look at this next one. It says, I will attend the Journey Connect class today and discover if this is where God wants me to be, or God wants me to join His church and to serve Him. Let me say this. I say this at the beginning of every class. You know, number one, people are there for 2 reasons. One, because they have to be there, and nobody has to be at that class. And number two, because they want to be there. And so some of them want to be a part of what God is doing. And I always tell them, hey, man, I appreciate your time. But here's the other thing I say. Listen, if you get to the end of the class today and you go, you know what, this is not the church for me, I'm okay with that. But God's leading you somewhere. He wants you serving. He wants you using your gifts. He wants you on mission somewhere. And if it's not Journey, that's okay with us. We will help you find a good, solid church to go serve in. But don't make excuses and don't just sit back and just say, you know what, I'm just going to be on cruise control. But realize, you know what? Time is of the essence. We don't know when we'll see tomorrow. This morning we were praying, talking about praying. I was praying for a family. Had a boy that died yesterday playing soccer. Can you imagine what his mom and dad are going through today? He's playing soccer on a field down in Mobile, Daphne area. Most of us would think he's probably healthy if he's running up and down a field playing soccer. He breathed his last night. So this morning, in my time of prayer, I was praying for that family as they're dealing with that loss. I was praying for those kids that are on that team that have lost a teammate. Praying for the peace of God that can only come from God to literally minister to them. And so the thing is, you know, God wants to use us here, but He also uses us as prayer warriors who stand in the gap for anything that's going on across this globe. And so don't you want to be one that God can say, hey, I can count on you, I can trust you? I tell our staff all the time, the thing I love about God is He trusts us to lead His church. He trusts us to minister to His church. He trusts us to teach His church. He trusts us. And so don't you want to be found trustworthy and used by God? I want to ask you just to bow your heads and close your eyes. And Man, I don't know what God is speaking to you or what He's saying to you. Maybe you're here today and maybe for you it is that first step. It's, you know what, I want to give my life to Christ. I want to be saved. I want to be a part of the family of God. I want to be a part of what God is doing here in my community. Man, I want to be a part of the church. And so if that's you, I just want you to raise your hand and say, Mike, that's me. Mike, I want to be a part of what God is doing. I want to be saved. I want to ask Christ to come and live within me. Anybody in the room? I see your hands. Anybody else? Say, Mike, that's me. I want to ask Jesus to come and live within me. I want Him to save me. I want to be a part of His church. Anybody else? Thank you guys for raising your hands. Anybody else? Those of you that raised your hand, if you want, just look up here at me for a second. I want to lead you through a simple prayer. It has to be your prayer. But this is the thing. This prayer, it's like, you know, it's not a magic formula. What happens is whenever you surrender your heart and you say, Jesus, I want you to come and live within me. Jesus, I give you my life. It's surrender. With all the faith that you have, you say, Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. I want you to come and live within me. I want you to change me. Is that what you want to do? But then right where you're at, I want to lead you through a simple prayer. And just pray this prayer. Just say, Jesus, I believe that you can save me. Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. And Jesus, I believe that you can redeem me. And so with all the faith that I have, I put my faith in you for salvation. I believe with everything that's in me. And I want to ask you to change me. And that's repentance. That's Him changing us. That's sanctification. But I want to turn and follow you. So Jesus, with everything that's in me, I want to turn and follow you. If that is your prayer, here's the thing. The Bible says if you pray that prayer in your heart of hearts and you confess Him with your mouth, you will be saved. So now, let me just say this. You're a part of His church. You're a part of the church. Thank you for sharing that with me. We want to walk with you too. At the end of the service, we'd love to give you guys a Bible and put that in your hand. A lot of you in this room didn't raise your hand, but you say, you know what, man, I'm a believer. So let me ask you, are you a faithful follower of Christ who is faithful to your church? Are you faithful to what you committed to? Are you serving? Are you using your gifts? If not, then what is holding you back? Has Satan got you tripped up? Has he got you trapped? Has he got you, you know, just kind of thinking that you don't have anything to offer? Then listen to God's Word today and believe the truth of His Word that God wants to work in you. He wants to work through you to accomplish His purposes. I had someone ask me a few minutes ago. He said, man, we go to the beach a lot. Is it okay to go to the beach? I'm like, man, that's fine. But it's not okay just to go down there and sit in a service and not do anything. If you just go into church, just say you went to church, you've missed what it's really all about. So wherever you go, you serve. And you say, God, I want to be on mission. So if God's got you here, let me encourage you to take that step and say, God, I want to be on mission. Father, I thank you for meeting with us today. God, I pray that we love you with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength. God, I pray that would be our prayer as a church. And God, I pray that we would love the church universal. God, and even this local expression, God, that we would love what you are doing through Journey Church. God, that it would never become more important than you are. But God, I pray that we would love it as the bride of Christ. God, I pray that you would use us today. Use us as your church as we disperse from here. God, as we go to restaurants, as we go home, God, no matter where we go today, God, help us to be on mission. God, that we would be your ambassadors, we would be your representatives, and God, that we would point to you in every possible way. God, thank you for your love for us, and thank you for your church. God, help us to be healthy. God, help us to be focused. Help us to be faithful. In Jesus' name, amen.